with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour two of the Lombardi Line coming at you on a Tuesday. The show, as always, presented by DraftKings. We're live on VSiN and DraftKings Network, coming to you from coast to coast. Stormy Bonantoni here in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Michael Lombardi out there on the East Coast at his office in Jersey. And lots to unpack with more and more games getting revealed in the NFL early season. We got NBA postseason action. Caitlin Clark is going to be hitting the court in her first real WNBA regular season game tonight. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, did you know they finally were able to get charter service now, so they don't have to go through airports and wait for the flights? That's awesome for the sport. And where this is going and the way ticket sales is really increasing, and I hope it's reflective and it stays that way because it's a lot of fun. She's done a lot of good for the league, which has made awareness. It's not all her, but her awareness, people wanting to her, have led you down. It's like, you know, you like one song that an artist sings and all of a sudden you listen to the whole album. You know, it kind of gets you in there. So I'm excited for that. Yeah, I'm really happy that they're able to fly, no longer have to fly commercial. That's awesome. And it's, you know, since we're back with DraftKings, it's good to have you back. It's good to have you back off that cruise and back in your normal spot talking about things. So we missed you.
Happy to be back. I appreciate you. It was a blast to spend a week out there in Alaska. But it's interesting. I don't know if you ever feel like this on vacation, Michael. You reach a point where you just miss being at home. You miss your routine. I think both of us being sports-oriented people, you get so in a flow of what you're doing. To have it broken up, I'm like, okay, I need to get back to work a little bit. So I'm happy to be back on the desk for sure.
Yeah, one of the hard things is to relax. Like, I haven't mastered relaxation completely. I can do it for 3 or 4 days, and then all of a sudden, wait a minute, I want to work on this, I need to work on that. I think you got to keep your mind active, and I think it's really challenging to do that, especially when there's so much going on, and you feel like, oh my God, I'm missing something. Yep. What happened in the NFL? You know, what happened here? What happened there? And you can catch up. Once you learn that patience, I think you'll figure it out.
Yep. I am a very wound up person, so asking me to unwind is a daunting task. But there was a lot of stuff that did go on while I was away. And yesterday, I finally get back home. I'm getting situated. And what happens? We get a big deal with Jared Goff signing an extension with the Detroit Lions, which leads me to what's on Michael's mind today, because it does pertain to that deal and the Lions in particular.
Well, one of the things you always worry about as a general manager when you pay players, and certainly they need to be rewarded, is how does that affect the locker room, right? And last year when the Giants paid Daniel Jones, I said, uh-oh, not a good move, because Daniel wasn't the reason they won, and they overlooked Barkley, and they paid Jones, and that creates problems in the locker room. So you always wonder, you know, George Young, the former general manager of the New York Football Giants, had a great saying, the hungry soldier is the best soldier. And you always want that, right? And that's the same thing with employees too. You don't want everybody to feel contentment, which is one of the virtues of the Patriots, that when Robert Kraft was coaching him over those 24 years, that he was able to develop the lack of contentment within his organization. Marvelous that he could do that from the owner's chair. But anyway, so my point here is, you worry about that. You worry about the level of competition, because you become the hunted one. I remember a conversation someone talked about to Sean McVay after he won the Super Bowl. And the person said to him, he said, Sean, this is going to be the hardest year of your life, the next year. And he's like, what are you talking about? It's going to be the hard, because everybody's coming for you. Everybody studied your tape. Everybody, it's their Super Bowl. And I think it's a little bit for Detroit too. But I think with Campbell as the leader, I think Goff is a guy who's been here before. I think they have a team that isn't content, and I think that's a good thing. I think they got to offset the fact that people are coming for them. And the division is good. I think Green Bay's better, no question. And I think the NFC will be coming for them as well. So, look, it's good to get players played. We know Goff's not the second best player in the league, but unfortunately, or fortunately for Goff, that's the cost of doing business.
And I do have a sidebar that I want to go down on that, but I'll get to it in a moment, because to stick with the Lions portion of this and still being hungry, as you called it, like, you got ripped last year for your comments on the New York football Giants, right? And talking about the Daniel Jones contract and Saquon Barkley holding out and the potential disease of me. Brian Daboll is coach of the year and the Giants have this awesome season. And then you questioned, okay, what is that going to look like going into this season? Well, they end up being a 6-win team and you were right on all counts. And then Daniel Jones has the injury that he has, yada, yada, yada. So it is a very real fear and you have high expectations and people are gunning for you now. It's different.
Yeah, and people study you, right? You're no longer the Lions. You know, one of the things we're going to see at the schedule, Stormy, is I read Bill Adie's newsletter. Again, we urge everybody to sign up. Use the code Lombardi to do that because you get all this valuable information. And we were talking about the schedule coming out and what he looks for as a professional gambler. What I look for as somebody who's been in the league is will the team, when they're playing an uncommon opponent, will they have enough time to prepare for them, or are they going to do a good enough job in the offseason preparing for them? For example, right, if you haven't played in Seattle for a lot of years, now you're going there, you don't know what McDonald's going to do on defense, you're not sure what Ryan Grubb's going to look like on offense, although you'll get tape, but you'll just be superficially gaining the tape. You have to prepare for the uncommon opponent in May and June, July in training camp. And if you don't do that, that week becomes very challenging for you. And then that's when you lose to a team you probably shouldn't have lost to because you don't know them. You don't have a feel for them. You don't know how they call the game. You know, when you're Cleveland, you go play Pittsburgh, you know who you're dealing with, right? When you're Cleveland, you go play Baltimore, you know it. But now you're Cleveland and you're going out to play San Francisco, different ballgame. Right. And so that becomes a factor. And I think you've got to really look at the schedule. And for Detroit, they are going to be a team that studied all offseason. And people are going to look for ways to exploit their defense and ways to take advantage of their offense.
12 wins a season ago, make it all the way to the NFC title game, win total set at 2.5, and they are the second shortest shot in the NFC behind only the 49ers as well. To follow up on that other point you made, when it comes to the price tag and Jared Goff's average annual value looking around $53 million right now, what does this mean for some other quarterbacks? Thinking about Tua Tagovailoa, who's obviously going to get a new deal here soon. Dak Prescott, you look at, Josh Allen is going to need a new deal at some point in the near future. What does this do for that? Because you look at that guy is getting paid $53 million. Well, my initial asking price is changing now.
Well, see, here's what the leagues aren't allowed to collude with. What are you going to pay your guy? What are you going to pay our guy? But the agents talk to one another. And so Tua's agent probably had a really good sense because he's represented, Goff is represented by the Tolner family, Ryan and Brett Tolner, right, who used to work for Lee Steinberg. And Steinberg represents Tua. And so they know. And so I'm sure Lee probably knew this deal was coming. And so he backs off. He walks away. Okay, here it is. They paid Goff 53. My guy's better than Goff. I want 55. Well, wait a minute. We thought we were in the 45. No. Now we're here. See, and so that you just keep using the ladder, and they know when a deal's coming or when it's getting closer. And so they back off of a deal. If you're in the middle of a negotiation and you feel like you're getting somewhere and all of a sudden the agent goes dark on you, you know he knows another deal's coming that's going to hurt your deal. Because he don't want to talk to you anymore. He don't want to talk to you anymore. He wants to avoid it. He's in four-corner offense. And so I think this Goff deal certainly impacts it. Now, you know, what do they say to that? Well, Goff's more experienced. He's been to a Super Bowl. You can discredit it, but then Lee's going to come back and say, well, yeah, he's eventually going to get you there, so he has to be rewarded for it. It becomes the ladder, and if you climb the ladder, the numbers are just going to keep going up.
Which this is a conversation for another day, but presents an interesting situation for the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones, who's kind of just been sitting back and waiting to figure out how to put these deals together. They're just going to get more and more expensive as we go. Also, Michael, speaking of the Cowboys, we know their first game of the season. It's been revealed they'll be playing at the Browns. Tom Brady's broadcasting debut with Fox. A number of other games that have come out. The Browns, by the way, a 1-point favorite in that game. Total 44.5. The Chiefs get the Ravens and Bengals back-to-back weeks to open the season. that they're laying 3 against Baltimore, laying 4 against Cincinnati. Aaron Rodgers is going to open the season on Monday Night Football again, this time against the 49ers. They're getting 5.5 points in that one, total 46.5. And we also know the Thursday Night Football game on Amazon. So we'll have that first Thursday Night Chiefs game on NBC, but then the first Amazon game, Bills at Dolphins, with Miami laying 1 at home.
Yeah, and then look, we got Bengals Chiefs. So the first thing I want to look for in that, before any play on the Bengal Chief game, is who do the Bengals play in the opener?
Mm-hmm.
And are they on the road, and who do they play? And is it a, if they play Pittsburgh to open the season up, that 4 is the right number, right? If they play a physical game to start the season, that 4 is the right number. And it's the same thing with Buffalo, Miami. Who are they playing on Sunday that they have the short week? Now, look, Buffalo and Miami both know each other in terms of their personnel. But with Anthony Weaver now as a new defense coordinator, you know, Buffalo's not sure what he's going to run. He's from a different system than Vic Fangio. He's from a different system than Josh Boyer. This will be the third defensive coordinator in Miami in 3 years. So that's going to cause a little bit of, I don't really know this guy very well. And that creates some problems. That's the intertwining part of the schedule. As us, as handicappers and people that study the league, it's really important to see, because this is the void you're looking for.
Also, Michael, because you mentioned short week, schedule makers not doing the Jets any favors. In addition to playing a physical team in the San Francisco 49ers, for Aaron Rodgers and a number of players that they have signed that have injury history or coming off injuries, a short week from week 1 to week 2 right out the gates. So that'll be an interesting one to pay attention to, too, who they end up having week 2. We're going to hit the break. When we come back, former Indianapolis Colts head coach, longtime defensive coordinator in the league, Chuck Pagano, is going to join us, get his thoughts on the coaches and players side of this time of year, the schedule coming out, rookie mini camps and voluntary workouts. We'll be right back.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I've said it once, I'll say it again. We here at the Lombardi Line are here for you and want to help you out. So for a limited time only, remember, we are offering our annual subscription at a great price, normally $240. You can grab a subscription now for just $199. Sign up today, and we're also giving you an extra 2 months for free. So that's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. But you have to use our promo code Lombardi. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI, 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems from professional handicappers, as well as our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for each and every game. Visit vsin.com/subscribe today and claim again your 14 months of VSiN Pro for $199. Use the promo code Lombardi at vsin.com/subscribe. Stormy Bonantoni and Michael Lombardi with you. Leave it to the NFL, by the way, to be the talk of the town, even during the NBA and NHL postseason, because each time one of these games gets released, we're having tweets all over the place. It's a full event tomorrow night to have the schedule release, Michael. And we're very fortunate right now to break that down and a lot of what's going on this time of year in the NFL with the one and only Chuck Pagano, who joins us on the Progressive Guest Line, former Indianapolis Colts head coach, longtime defensive coordinator, defensive mastermind, who's become a great friend of the show. Coach, thank you so much for stopping by.
Hey, thanks for having me. Always great to be on with you guys. Thank you.
Coach, when you were in the league, head coach, and you first looked at the schedule, what was the first thing that you looked for when examining the schedule?
Yeah, great question. I mean, that first year in Indy, you know, that place was blown up, right, in 2011, and the only reason you get a job like that is because of, you know, they didn't have Manning and whatever. So you look for primetime games. We didn't have any. They were all 1 o'clock games, which is not bad. But you want, you know, you'd love to have primetime games on there. You're looking for the bye. You know, when's the bye going to be? You always wanted that, you know, somewhere around the middle of the season. Guys are banged up. You got some guys injured. You know, give the players and staff a chance to catch their breath. You're an East Coast or West Coast team. you know, do we have like back-to-back, you know, 2-3 time zone trips and the logistics behind that? Michael, you remember when we were, you know, at the Raiders and it was 2 time zones, right? And Mr. Davis said, hey, we're going 2 days.
Yep.
So, and we always came back. So I know guys now are looking at those, you know, cross-country trips. And if they have back-to-backers, they're staying on the East Coast for an extra week. So they don't have that travel time in there. Obviously, overseas games, if you have that, and now you guys are talking about leaving it to the NFL, you know, we're still in Christmas now from the NBA, right, or whatever. And, you know, they're going to play a short week, you know, a Saturday and then a Wednesday game. Christmas falls on a Wednesday, and they're going to have a slate of games there. So those are the things we look for.
And a Friday overseas game the first week of the season. Like, it really is remarkable how much the NFL has taken over. Does it surprise you at all the way that this sport has, it's already been king in America, but the way it's just grown and grown and grown, and now there's international fan bases?
No, I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, what's that saying about pigs and hogs or whatever? But as long as people keep showing up, you know, it's just incredible. I, you know, went overseas a couple times, played in London, you know, a couple times, and it's just crazy. And you mentioned the Friday game, Stormy. I think that's what in Brazil. Mm-hmm. They're going to, you know, Brazil to play that game. And, as long as we keep putting the product that we keep putting on the field, it just seems like this is a never-ending cash cow for the NFL, and these fans are just absolutely crazy.
Coach, now that the draft's over, the offseason's over, is there a team that you really has caught your eye from last year, what they did, and then the additions they made, not necessarily always just the draft, but free agency and the draft?
Yeah, the last place I worked was, Chicago in 2019 and 2020. And Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, I mean, didn't get off to a great start. But now you look at, you know, the way that they finished last season, the way that they finished defensively, right? They were, you know, top 2-3 in the league defensively with Eberflus calling that defense. But, you know, you look at, you know, free agency, they went and got Keenan Allen, Gerald Everett, DeAndre Swift. I think everybody knew, they knew that they were going to, you know, select a quarterback. They were going to select Caleb Williams. So you always want to put, you know, surround a rookie quarterback with, you know, play great defense, be able to run the ball. So they got Herbert, you know, still there, and now Swift. The defense is stout. They really didn't lose anybody. They re-signed Jalen Johnson, their top corner. You know, I had him when I was there. We drafted him out of Utah. He got a big contract, and so I really liked, you know, what they did, and Caleb, and then Rome Odunze, you know, adding another weapon. So Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, you know, 2 years ago, and now Rome to go along with Caleb, Gerald Everett, and Cole Kmet. So I really like what Chicago's done.
Yeah, the expectation's starting to shift a little bit down there in Chicago. Win totals at 8.5. They're -125 favored odds to make the playoffs this coming year. And you talk about Caleb Williams there, Coach. We're hearing a lot of sound coming out of these rookie mini camps of coaches talking about the load that's being put on these rookie quarterbacks immediately, how they're handling things. What do you remember about that time going through it with a rookie quarterback? And you have any good Andrew Luck stories for us?
Yeah, I got a bunch of them. But, you know, Storm, it was funny because, yeah, there's a lot being thrown at him, obviously. And, you know, going through it with Andrew. See, Andrew being a Stanford, you know, grad, you know, they were on quarters out there. So we got him back in town for the rookie minicamp. And then he left. And he missed the lion's share of the offseason. We gave him a playbook, obviously, to go home with. And big brain Andrew, probably he had that thing memorized in probably a couple, 2-3 days, but he missed the most of the rookie minicamp. So the 6 quarterbacks that were taken in this year's draft, they're going through a lot. They're throwing a lot at those guys. but we didn't have Andrew. And you know, the first time he came back, I don't know what OTA we were on, but it was late. We had the group together for a long period of time. So he comes back. He's obviously running with the ones. We go to the first team drill with him. BA gives him a play. We're going 11 on 11 offense versus defense. And he gets the line of scrimmage and he doesn't like what he sees. So he starts killing the play. He resets the protection, change the format. And everybody just kind of stops and looks at him and says, what the hell's Andrew? What's he talking about? And BA, you know, with some colorful language, you know, get the F back in the huddle, you know, blah, blah, blah. Reggie, Duane, all the guys that we had, nobody had a clue what he was doing. Of course, he was right. He did the right thing. But that's how smart, how far ahead he was. He hadn't even been there. So, yeah, it was interesting and so great. I mean, just, you know, the guy was just brilliant, you know, and he could handle everything. And we throw, you know, so much at these young quarterbacks. It's really not fair, but he certainly could handle it.
Coach, what are these young quarterbacks, and we only have about a minute, which one of these young quarterbacks really caught your eye during the draft process?
You know, they all look pretty good, but that damn Jaden Daniels, I'd hate to be a defensive coach right now, Michael. You know, getting ready to, you know, Kingsbury goes over there. He's worked with these athletic, you know, run pass option guys, and his athleticism, everybody talks about he's not going to be, you know, big enough or strong enough or whatever, but God, from what I saw and the way he throws a ball, accuracy, deep balls, and then his ability to extend plays, you know, he runs for 50, 60, 70 yards. When he breaks the line of scrimmage, he gets in the open field, it's going to be hell to try to get that kid on the ground. But I really liked what he did there at LSU.
Coach Pagano, thank you so much for the time. As always, you're awesome. Have a great day.
Yeah, you guys too.
Thanks Coach. Appreciate you.
See you, Lombo.
The one and only Chuck Pagano. Awesome to have him joining us there on the Progressive guest line. Go ahead.
He makes a great point about that. What people don't realize, UCLA's, any team that's on the quarter system, because of the way it is, it's hard to get those guys. Oregon's the same way. Some of those West Coast, I don't know if they've changed that, but that really sets back a quarterback. Now, even if they're graduated, they had to honor their school. You know, so that became really problematic for you. And it's harder, you know, than normal because they're going to take the playbooks, but they can't see everything that you're doing.
Also, was that not exactly what you would expect to hear about Andrew Luck?
No question. No doubt. Like, no doubt.
Just you knew that something like that was going to come out. We're going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, it's time for Lombardi's List. What second year players in the NFL need to take a mother may I step forward?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In addition to watching and listening to VSiN live on VSiN.com, the new and improved website is your one-stop shop for all things betting content. Best bets, articles, betting splits, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. We've got it all at VSiN.com, including right now top plays in the NBA postseason. Each and every night, and with the WNBA regular season kicking off tonight, picks and predictions for this evening. We are live on VSiN as we speak. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you, and we'll get back to a little basketball talk at the end of the show. But for now, Michael, I want to stick with the NFL as we get into Lombardi's List, like we always do each and every week here. We love listing things, especially in the off season. But today, you're looking at second-year players that need to take a mother may I step forward. So we all know about CJ Stroud and Puka Nacua and those rookies that were unbelievable in year one. There are also a lot of guys that have room for improvement. Who's the top of your list of guys that you want to see take a step forward?
Well, we remove the quarterbacks. Obviously, Will Levis has to take a huge mother may I step, but just keep him out of the conversation. And let's start with the premise that in every single draft, once you get past, let's say, pick 20 to pick 50 is probably players that you've graded what we call potential starters, meaning they have the potential to come in and start. and contribute. You know, Joe Tippmann last year, he played in 16 games. He started some. Next year, he needs to do it for the Jets, right? So Luke Musgrave, the tight end for the Packers, for the Packers, he came in, he played in 11 games, was injured, but he looked like he could contribute. So what the whole second round, essentially, and the bottom of the first, fit into this category because you drafted them with the idea that they've got to come in and be potential starters. And so when you start with that premise, you basically start right away with Darnell Wright, who was the 10th pick overall in the draft at right tackle. He's got to play really well for the Bears. It's critical. Now, they didn't put him at left tackle. They put him at right tackle. And so he's got to play really well. Last year, he played in 17 games, you know, and it looks like, but he's got to take a giant step forward for me. And that offensive line, we had Randy Mueller on yesterday. He and I are both concerned how good that line is or how good that line could be, especially with a huge hole at left tackle. Tevin Jenkins, who they drafted in the second round, is the left guard. So that's a concern. Next guy that's a huge concern is Mazi Smith for the Cowboys. I mean, they picked him 26th overall, a defensive tackle in the first round. They need him to come through. They need him to be a solid run defender. They need him to come off the ball. They need him to make plays. Now, he was active for games, but he was not very productive. And so he needs to take a huge step or else the label, which is starting to trickle down on him right now, is that he's going to be maybe a draft disappointment.
And Michael, especially real quickly,
go ahead.
For a Dallas Cowboys team, obviously, that hasn't done much, if anything, to get better. It seems like on paper they've gotten worse.
Absolutely.
If anything here, that's going to be that much more important. And also, your point well taken about the Bears. We talked about it with Chuck Pagano before the break about all of the weapons that they have, right, and the expectations in Chicago. Those weapons and your star quarterback aren't going to mean anything if you're not protected in the most important area. Okay, but let's go to number three. Who's number three?
But that's a great point, right? So what the Cowboys need is they need their draft from 23 to fill in. And like the next guy, you know, when you look at Derek Hall, drafted in the 37th pick defensive end for the Seattle Seahawks, you know, he was dressed for, you know, he was dressed for 17 games. He really didn't make much of a contribution, really didn't do much. But now with Mike McDonald in, they need him to make a huge step forward. They picked the 37th pick overall on him. They got to get something out of him. They have to. And they didn't fill that need in free agency because maybe they feel. Now, here's another team, Elliott's team, the Colts. Julius Brents, the corner. Everybody wants the Colts to take a corner in the draft. Everybody wanted the Colts to sign a corner in free agency. But they think Brents could be a good player. Only played in 9 games. Big corner physical. It's a huge year for him. He's got to step up and fill, just like you said, that void. Just like Cam Sutton, the 51st pick overall for the Miami Dolphins at corner. They cut Xavier Howard, right? Who's going to be the starting corner? Cam Sutton's got to come through for them.
Smith,
and
right?
If these guys are as good as we think they are, then they've got a chance. But if they're not, all of a sudden, that hole is still a hole.
And Brents, to your point, at the time was considered a second-round steal. So, like, that's going to be huge for to see if he's able to step up. Was there any, like, specifics that you were looking at when you put this list together when it came to, like, obviously you mentioned the quarterbacks are taken out of it. But was there anything specific? Was it just, like, first, second-round guys that you needed to see more of? Or, like, as accumulation, what were you looking at?
Well, I think I was looking for guys that had potential starter grade. Plus, I was looking for areas of weakness of a team that needs to get strengthened by the pick that they made last year. Mm-hmm. Chicago. They didn't pick an offensive tackle early in the draft, right? I thought they should have, or a defensive tackle. They've got to get Darnell Wright to play well. Got that. Okay. Then you come down, same thing with Mazi Smith. You said it when we're talking about this. I mean, they need Mazi Smith to be good. They can't have Mazi Smith have a bad year. He's got to play well for them. They don't have enough defensive linemen. He only started 3 games for them last year, Stormy. You know, and so like he had a sack and he had 9 tackles. That's a first-round pick defensive lineman. You got to get more out of him than anything. And so I think that's really important. Same thing if Seattle's going to improve on defense, then they've got to get more out of Derek Hall, the kid from Auburn. You know, he played in 17 games. But he didn't have a sack. You know, he was involved in tackles, didn't start a game. But that's a huge draft pick for somebody that you've got to get something out of. That's an investment.
Well, let's talk a little bit further about the Seattle defense in general, because you referenced it, Mike Macdonald coming in. That's what he's known for, and an important revamp for that unit. He's a young head coach. He's got all of these wide eyes and big ideas. What is your expectation for how that defense can come together? Because I know that's a team in the NFC West you like coming into this year.
Yeah, I have high hopes for him defensively, because we had Randy Mueller, who lives up in the Pacific Northwest. Now, he lives over on the eastern side of the state in Coeur d'Alene, but he used to be in Seattle, their organization, when the Nordstrom family owned the team for a long time. So he's really familiar with people in Seattle. And he said yesterday that there was a belief within the building, and I think it's true. They underachieved defensively. Because when you look at them on paper, Stormy, you know, they have two corners that are really – three corners that can cover. They signed Love as a free agent. You know, last year they went out of their way to sign and DJ Jones, DeMonte Jones from Denver, gave them a three technique they hadn't had. Jarrett Reed's a high second-round pick. They traded for Leonard Williams. And this is a team that should be pretty good, right? But they couldn't stop the run to save their life. And they couldn't create a turnover. The last three games of the year, Seattle defensively never forced a turnover all in any of those games. And they gave up 30 points at home to Pittsburgh and Mason Rudolph. Can you imagine driving home from that game with the playoffs on the line? They beat Pittsburgh. They have 10 wins. They're in. Green Bay doesn't get in. So I think there's a feeling out there that they underachieved. And I think John Schneider felt like he needed a new voice defensively, because Clint Hurdle wasn't getting it. Like, Pete has never been able to replace some of the guys, whether it was Quinn, Saleh, some of those guys who had been up there that were good coordinators for him. And he's gone downhill in that area. And I think ultimately it's affected their team. And so they are going to be better with Mike Macdonald on defense. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. I think they'll be more multiple. They'll rush the passer better. I think they can cover. And I think offensively they have a chance, because they had so many injuries last year, especially to the two starting tackles. They lost Cross for an extended period of time. They lost Lucas for an extended period of time. I mean, look, they've got three really good receivers. They have two really good backs. They should have a good offensive line with those young players being in a second year. They've got a good tight end in Noah Fant. They signed Brown as the backup tight end, who was really good for New England in a blocking game. I mean, I think it's right there for them.
If you're just joining us, we're talking Lombardi's List, players in their second year that need to take a step forward in 2024. Derek Hall of the Seahawks on that list, Darnell Wright, Mazi Smith, Juju Brents, and Cam Smith. Michael, of these five, who do you think is in the position and most poised to do so, to really be able to make that leap?
I think it's got to be Brent.
Okay.
I think it's really got to be, because the Colts need that corner to come through. Brent and Sutton, the two corners have to come through. You know, they have to come through for him, because there's no alternative, just like Wright has to come through for Chicago. Because here's the thing, I'm just going to let people in on a secret. You're not finding a legitimately good right tackle in the middle of October. You can manufacture one, but you're not finding a guy who's above the line starter to play in the offensive line.
Yeah, this roster tooling isn't the easiest thing in the world now, is it, Michael? Like, everybody, those home GMs, those fantasy football GMs, they think it's a lot easier than it is in real life.
Yeah, in their basement screaming, "Mom, more meatloaf." Yeah, I'm going to get it off. Yeah, that's right. They think it's really easy. More meatloaf, Mom. Let's go.
Ma, the meatloaf. I never know what she's doing back there. On that note, we are going to head to commercial here in a moment. Wrapping things up, getting back to the NBA. We got two big games coming up tonight. Recapping what we saw last night, pushing it ahead to the games coming up tomorrow. And the WNBA tipping off tonight in the regular season. Caitlin Clark in action for the first time in regular season games. They're getting 7.5, the Fever are, against the Connecticut Sun. And there are a ton of Caitlin Clark props out there. We'll be right back.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA postseason is heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers bet $5, you get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN, V-S-I-N, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. We are live on VSiN and DraftKings Network alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And it is time for our pro tip of the hour. We do these on the show each and every day, and we certainly will be moving forward as well, Michael. And today you had a great point early on when we were talking about the schedule getting released, that if there is a time to fade the defending Super Bowl winning Kansas City Chiefs, it's probably early in the season. They're favored by 3 or more points in each of their first two games, we know already, against two potential contenders in the AFC, against the Ravens and Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, and the reason is because it's going to take a little bit of time for this all to come together. It isn't like they're bringing everybody back from last year. They have holes like every team did. They paid all their players, right? Got Mahomes to a new contract, you know, gave Kelsey more money. They bring in Hollywood Brown. How good is Hollywood Brown, right? How good is he going to be able to adapt into the offense? Worthy's a first-round pick, but he's 160 pounds. He seems like a specialty player, not a full-time player. We know Rashee Rice is going to get suspended, or we believe that. I mean, just based on what we've been able to collect in terms of information. And then defensively, you know, they lose Snead. They still have a hole at left tackle, right? They still have a hole at left tackle, and Juwan Taylor didn't play great at right tackle. Donovan Smith, you know, kind of filled the gap in. I'm sure they could re-sign him. But remember, this line, they had to run the football. They won with defense last year. They didn't win with offense, and I don't think they've improved their offense at all in terms of, oh, Hollywood Brown's better than this guy, and they've added this guy and that guy. No, I think it's going to have to be the same way that they went last year, which is why I think the number trickled down as soon as the line opened, because I don't see them scoring 24 points all the time. I think it's a 24-21 game, which puts it at 45, not at 49.5.
Yeah, we saw, Michael, their offense was very different last year, and they did have to win with defense, to your point. And this is a team that clicked late in the season and clicked in the postseason, finding ways to win games with their playmakers. Like, that wasn't a team that throughout the course of the regular season you were wanting to bet on each and every week. And so just because we're saying the best time to fade Kansas City might be early on in the season, they're all probably fat and happy. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce have the most star power that they've ever had. Like, how much are you still as hungry as you've been? Travis Kelce is getting older. Like, you think about a lot of these different factors that are going to have an impact of you getting ramped up early on in the season. And that's not to say that they couldn't still make history and be a three-peat Super Bowl champion. They are the favorite to win the Super Bowl for a reason, but you don't have to necessarily start fast in order to reach that late end of year goal. Again, they are laying 3 in that season opener on Thursday Night Football on NBC against the Baltimore Ravens. And you said that total ticking down from 49.5 to 47.5. We got a lot of basketball coming on the television screen today in the NBA, in the WNBA, Michael, which, by the way, so the WNBA starts tonight. The headline, number one overall pick, Caitlin Clark, alongside Rookie of the Year, Leah Boston. They're visiting the Connecticut Sun. The Fever are getting 7.5 in that game. We've also got the two-time defending champion Las Vegas Aces and two-time MVP Aja Wilson begin their quest for a three-peat against the Mercury. They're a 16.5-point favorite in that game. I feel like that just keeps getting up and up. But we talked about it earlier. This might be, like, the biggest and best WNBA season ever. Because you think about the behind-the-scenes stuff where they are getting charter flights now. They are getting fans in attendance at their games. They're getting games on national television networks. Like, they're getting eyeballs that they've never had before on the sport. And who knows what could happen once you maybe are drawn in by Caitlin Clark, but you find another player or another team that you can latch on to.
Yeah, I thought where you were going with this conversation on your return back from Alaska, I thought you were going to put together a two-game teaser here with women's basketball. I thought for sure you were going to tease down the Aces number down to 9.5 and then tease down the fee, you know, or tease up. I don't know which way you wanted to go on the other game, but I had a feeling you were headed for the Stormy teaser to welcome everybody back to the show. I love it. I was actually, you played it straight. I'm shocked. I know Harry doesn't come on till tomorrow, but you know, I'm sure you've got a teaser wrapped up in you.
Listen, I am here to learn. I have not typically watched a lot of WNBA in my life, but I want to now. So we'll see what we do as the season progresses. But for now, I'm just going to sit back and watch. For those who are interested, though,
that's a great pro tip right there. True. That's a great pro tip. You're not going to bet until you know, right? And so that's really important. You're not guessing. You're investing.
I'm not a big fan of throwing away money. And so I like to at least have some semblance of knowing what's going on going in. And for those who are interested in betting some of those Caitlin Clark props tonight, they are set all over the board. Her points prop set at 21.5. It is juiced -120 to the over. So taking a little bit of money there. Her 3-point prop set at 3.5, 6.5 the assist number, and 4.5 the rebounds for Inquiring Minds. But Michael, I know you love your NBA action, and you and I both have some faith in the New York Knicks tonight, who were up 2-0 to open the series at home. The Pacers bounce back in a big way. They're coming off a dominant win, 121-89, that 32-point win, the third largest in Pacers playoff history. So now, was the last game a one-off, or was that a tipping point in this series? What are you looking at tonight?
Well, you know, I love mental toughness, and I love teams with mental toughness. And I think teams that have mental toughness always seem to rise to the challenge. Now, look, it's not a lie to say the Knicks are undermanned. They don't have Bogdanovich, they don't have Robinson, and they won't have OG Obinobi. So they're down people. I get that. But you can't embarrass teams with mental toughness. Like, they're going to bounce back. And I don't know if Indiana has the heart or the toughness to really take it to them and win on their court. I really don't. I think the Knicks will play well. I think they'll be energized by the Garden. I think they'll be excited, and I think they'll bounce back. I really do. I think it'll be a great game. I'm not going to say it's going to be one of those over in the first quarter, but look, the Knicks shot poorly from the floor, the 18% from the three-point line in the game in Indiana. I don't expect them to do it again.
And the Pacers, I mean, to your point, like, they're a different team at home than they are on the road. And the Garden is going to be a difficult spot. Pacers at home this postseason, they're 5-0, averaging 120 points per game. On the road, they're 1-4, averaging more than 10 points fewer in road venues. And obviously, Indiana is going to have to win a game on the road if they're going to win this series. And I just feel like tonight is the Knicks. Even though what we talked about with Will Hill earlier on the show about the way that they're defending Jalen Brunson changing with Aaron Nesmith getting put on him. In the last two games, Brunson's just 9 of 27 shooting against Nesmith specifically. We saw he only had 18 points the other night. He's dealing with foot, ankle injuries. But also, the Knicks, despite the injury issues that they've had, whether it be Brunson or like the slew of guys that have had issues, they've always seemed to find a way. And that's just kind of the way that, right, I feel about the series and the way I feel about them tonight.
I agree. And are we sure Brunson was healthy when he was getting defended, or was that foot bothering him? You know, I think that's where you have to separate. Is it the defender or is it the foot? I think it's a little bit of both, right? And I think now that they've had two games to analyze this and he comes back, and as Will Hill said too, right, you get way more time. I mean, that when you play Friday night and Sunday afternoon, there's not a whole lot of time, and, you know, it becomes problematic for you. So I really feel, look, if the Knicks don't win tonight, then I could easily, yeah, I don't know if they're going to have enough in them to go back to Indiana and win that game. This is what Will said is true. Whoever wins game five, 88% of the time, they win the series.
And the Pacers are certainly thinking and hoping that they've changed the momentum in the series. We'll see if that ends up true tonight at MSG. Also tonight in Denver, the Nuggets are 4-point favorite against the Timberwolves. Can the home team finally get a win for the home crowd in this series, yeah, Michael? Because that has not been the case to this point.
You know, and you got to believe that. Look, I mean, Minnesota was one of the best defensive teams in the league, and it fell apart. Like, Dallas loses the other night. Luka doesn't play well last night. Kyrie only scores 9. They can't make free throws. But Dallas's defense, which has been very good since the All-Star break, held them to 38% shooting, right? The whole game. Where's Minnesota? Minnesota hasn't been able to clamp down in the two home games against Denver, and they're shooting. Now, they did it in the first two games. So that's where I'm a little bit leery. You know, it's easy to just say, well, Denver's going to win because they're going to win one at home. I'm not so sure about that, because I got to believe there's some element of Minnesota that they're going to be able to play better defense.
Ali LaForce asked Jokic postgame about how powerful the feeling was to drop those first two games at home. He said, we only lost one game at home in the playoffs last year, so those first two games have forced us to be stronger and play more together collectively. They've won each of the last two on the road. We'll see how things change or not at Ball Arena coming up tonight. Again, the Nuggets laying 4. Total ticked up slightly to 206. We saw the total tick up a little bit in that other game as well to 217. That's it for today. today. So happy to be back, Michael. Let's keep this thing rolling tomorrow.
Great to have you. Thank you, Stormy.
Sharp Money is coming up next right here on VSiN, but keep it locked on DraftKings Network as well. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.